Welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today. And we're going to be continuing in our study of the last week of Jesus' earthly life. And we're still in John chapter 12. In the first day of that week, 6 days before the crucifixion, are you ready? Well, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God today. And we thank you that it's going to teach us your truth about salvation and about eternal life. And Lord Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds and enable us to understand your word, Father. And Father, anoint me that I may preach the word of God with power and with correctness and with fidelity the way I ought to. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what'd you say? Amen. And what? Amen. All right. Now, remember what we teach here at Lon Solomon Ministries and here on Live with Lon. Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply to our life. That's what we're going to do, Lord willing, today. Now, here in John chapter 12, we have been following the Lord Jesus on the day after his triumphal entry. If you remember, he came into Jerusalem with the triumphal entry. He overthrew the table of the money changers. He left, went to Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, and now has come back for the day to Jerusalem. And last week, we saw him talk about walking in the light and not stumbling in the darkness. And we talked about how when you don't know Christ, that in our world, you're groping around like in a dark room or a dark forest, and you can't see where you're going. You're trying to find your way, but it's dark, and you can't see. And then Jesus comes into your life, and suddenly you can see. And one of the most important things you can see is the purpose for your life from that point on, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which says, it's to no longer serve ourselves, but to serve him who died for us and rose again. Verse 15. Now today we move on to the next section in this chapter. And we come to one of the most challenging passages of Scripture in the Bible for us to comprehend and to comprehend correctly. So, without any further ado, let's look at it. John chapter 12, using the New King James Version of the Bible, John chapter 12, beginning at verse 37. But though he, Jesus, had done so many signs, miracles before them, they, meaning the bulk of the Jewish people, did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, quote, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now stop there. Where does that verse come from? Well, it comes from verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 53, that great chapter in Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And the point here is that who has believed our report? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is virtually nobody has believed it. Now, if you notice, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, where Jesus' comments are in red letters, like in mine, What we're reading now is not in red letters. So this is not Jesus talking. This is John the writer, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talking. He goes on, verse 39, therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, quote, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and turn aside, and I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his, God's glory, or the Lord Jesus' glory, and spoke of him. Now this verse comes out of Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he gives a description of the Lord's majestic appearance. And then the Lord says, who's going to go? And Isaiah says, I will go. Here I am. Send me. And then God says these words. He says, quoting from Isaiah 6, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and repent and be healed. That from the New American Standard Translation. Wow. So this is quoted here in John chapter 12 by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is telling us that these words in Isaiah just didn't apply to the people Isaiah was going to try to go talk to about repenting and turning to the Lord. But it also applied to the Jewish people at the time of Christ who would not repent and turn to the Lord. Now, this idea of hardening someone's heart so they would not believe. In the Bible, this goes all the way back to Pharaoh, where the Bible says that God hardened his heart that he would not believe, so that God could show his power through the 10 plagues that he sent on Egypt. How do we understand that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Well, Pharaoh was an unbeliever. That's one thing. He wasn't Jewish. That's another thing. But to harden the hearts of the Jewish people so they could not understand? This is quite a statement. And I want you to see verse 39. Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said God's going to make their ears dull and their eyes heavy so they can't understand. Therefore, they could not believe. Wow. The Greek word, you say, what is the Greek word there? Could not means. Mean. It means could not. I looked it up just to be sure I knew what I was talking about. Means they were not able. They were not capable of believing. Now, it's interesting that this same verse, that God's going to blind their eyes and to make their ears dull, is quoted in all four Gospels. I told you before, not everything's quoted in all four Gospels. If it's quoted in all four Gospels, it's important. First, in Matthew chapter 13, after beginning to speak in parables, the disciples came to him and said, verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Given by whom? Well, given by God. And in them, verse 14, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, by hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them. Now, in Luke's gospel, we have the same verses repeated. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. Look at this. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable mean? And he said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And finally, Mark chapter 4, and I like something that Mark adds to all of this. Here's what he said. He said, to you, verse 11, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outsiders, all things are in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Now watch, lest they should turn again, repent, and their sins be forgiven. Wow. Wow. What is all this saying? Well, friends, it's all saying that in some form or fashion, God hardened the hearts of the majority of the Jewish nation, that they wouldn't understand the gospel, and therefore they would not repent, and therefore they would not have their sins forgiven. I mean, there's no other way to interpret this. And for those of us who worry about election versus free will, we come from a verse earlier in this chapter, John chapter 12, where Jesus said, verse 32, if I be lifted up, talking about his death on the cross, I will draw all men to me. And we talked about man's free will. Now, just a few verses later, seven verses later, God's telling us that he made it so that some people could not come and repent and have their sins forgiven. Whew. How do you deal with this? What do you mean? You could not. That's what it says. Now, I don't know what to do with this, except I can tell you the people who believe in predestination and election, this is one of their key verses, and I can understand why. God doesn't say on what basis he hardened these folks so they couldn't believe. Was it the fact that he knew in his foreknowledge they weren't going to believe anyway? I don't know. But there's a great commentary on this whole issue in Romans chapter 9. And this is all I can say to the topic, because Paul said it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit better than I ever could. Listen to what Paul says, Romans chapter 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God because he chose Jacob over Esau? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, who wants to get compassion from God, nor of him who runs, who puts out energy to earn compassion from God, but it's of God who shows mercy at his own discretion. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, he, God, has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, well, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? If he hardens people, then how can he hold people responsible for not believing if he hardened their heart like he did Pharaoh not to believe? It's a very good question. The Holy Spirit goes on to say, "But indeed, O man," verse 20, "who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed," meaning us, "say to him who formed it, God, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? And what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." What's Paul's answer to this question? It's way beyond your comprehension and my comprehension as puny human beings with puny human brains. God shows mercy to whomever he wants, and God hardens whoever he wants, and that's just the way it is. And this is way above your pay grade to try to figure this out. Now, there's a very interesting comment here that I want you to see. Verse 30, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not follow after righteousness," they didn't have the Torah, they didn't have the prophets, they weren't trying to be righteous in the sight of a holy God, "that they have attained to righteousness through Christ, even the righteousness of faith in Christ. But Israel, following after the law of righteousness, has not attained to it." Why? Oh, baby. "Because they," the Jewish people, Israel, "did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law." If you're trying to work your way into heaven by the works of the Bible, you're making the same mistake Israel made. That's not how you can get it. You'll miss it. It comes by faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross. That's how we attain righteousness in the sight of God. He covers us with the righteousness of Christ. Okay, now, having said all of that, where does that leave us? Well, friends, it just leaves us saying, these things are too high and too wonderful for me. I can't figure them out. I just have to accept that the Bible says this, that some people could not. In fact, most of the Jewish people could not believe. Pharaoh could not believe because God hardened them. He shows mercy on whom he wants, and on people he doesn't want, he doesn't show mercy. It's not on whether you try. It's based on God's prerogative. Okay, now that's the end of our verses, but I want us to, in closing, ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. My good friend Jackie, in his brown suit today, here he is. And what does he say? Come on. How sweet it is. Or we would say, how sweet it is. How sweet is what? Friends, how sweet is it that you know Christ? How sweet is it that I know Christ? How sweet is it? Let's go back here in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 16. "So then, it is not of him who wills, who tries, who wants to be righteous in God's sight, nor of him who runs, who tries hard to work his way into being righteous in God's sight. It's not of that, but of God who shows mercy." Verse 18, "Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wants, and whom he wants, he hardens." If you know Christ, God had mercy on you and didn't harden your soul and allowed you to understand the gospel and come to Christ. And why didn't he harden your soul? Because in his incredible wisdom and sovereignty, he decided he didn't want to harden you. He wanted you to come to Christ. He wanted you to go to heaven. He wanted you to be alive and serve him on this earth. And people you know who died without any sign of coming to Christ, why were they so hard to the gospel? Because that's what God wanted. And I want to take the burden off of you if you had a father, a mother, a sister, a brother, a grandfather, a grandmother, a friend like that. It's not your fault. It's nothing you did. It wasn't that you didn't present the gospel properly. It wasn't that you didn't use the right words. It wasn't that you didn't pray hard enough. No. No. God makes that decision. And I don't care what words you would have used or how hard you would have tried. If God decides in his sovereignty, it says here, not to show them gospel mercy and open their eyes to the gospel, then you didn't fail. And he mentions this in Acts chapter 16. I love that. Look at this. When Paul was preaching the gospel to Lydia and the other women in Philippi, look what the Bible says. Acts chapter 16, verse 14, look at this. And the Lord opened Lydia's heart so that she heeded the things which were spoken by Paul. And God opened her heart so that she listened to, she heeded the gospel as spoken by Paul. Now that's a good prayer for people who are lost. Lord Jesus, in your mercy, open their heart so that they might understand, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart the gospel, and come to you that their sins might be forgiven. Repent and come to you. For many of us, that's what our prayer ought to be for our unbelieving friends. Now, I want to end this by reminding us how grateful we should be. Why did God have mercy on you? Why did he choose you? I don't know. Why did he choose me? Of all people. I've told you before, I was the most profane, detestable, degraded, debauched. I can't think of any other something words. But I was absolutely a horrible individual. Why would God have mercy on me? I wasn't seeking righteousness. I was seeking actively unrighteousness in everything I did. Why would God choose me? I don't know. And you don't know why he chose you, except we need to be grateful. As Paul said, Paul's talking about believing in Jesus as a Jewish person, chapter 11 of Romans, verse 5, and he says, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant of Jewish people who believe in Jesus according to the election of grace. According to grace, God's wonderful grace. And the reason you're a believer is because it was according to God's election by grace. Elected by grace. Now, Jesus has one final word to put on all of this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear, for assuredly I say to you, watch this now, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Wow. what kind of prophets and righteous men? Well, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Isaiah, Samuel, Jeremiah, all the minor prophets, Daniel, Ezekiel, and on, have desired to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear him speak and to see his miracles and to see his death, burial, and resurrection, but they didn't get to see it. Blessed are our eyes, because we've gotten to see it. How blessed are we? Let's be grateful to God every day. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we are elected by grace, as Paul said in Romans 11. Thank you very much that in Romans 9 it says, "For you will have mercy on you will have mercy, and you will harden who you will." And Lord, you have chosen to have mercy on us listening who know Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, make us grateful people. Lord, make us like the one leper who came back and fell at your feet and worshiped you. And make us people who stand in awe that you, the holy God of the universe, would choose in your mercy to give us eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that understands the gospel. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We can't even put in words, Lord, how grateful we are for your love and your mercy. And we pray for loved ones we have who seem like you've hardened them right now. Lord Jesus, we beg you for mercy for them, that you might relent on that hardness and open their hearts like you did Lydia's to believe. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And what? Amen. Wow. Elected by grace. God bless you. See you next week on Live with Lon, Lord willing.